to really make sure that we have at the head of our states, if we can call them states, people who that you need, people who are Pan-Africanists in the sense that we are talking about today, which right. means that they really consider that Africans, whoever they are, deserve the riches of Africa, that they deserve to live. And having those kind of people in power is what would make a real African Union exist. And even the question about, United States of Africa, we can do better. We can do better than the United States itself if we are able to put in the kind of leadership that we really need.
I was wondering, Momo, what would you say are some of the most important accomplishments by the Pan-Africanist movement or the Pan-African movement so far?
At least we should say that Africa has at least moved from all of our African states now are politically at least independent, although economically they are not independent. They are still dependent. The inter-African trade is very low. Inter-European trade, inter-Asian trade is very high. Why? Because our relationship is still, economically, is still with the colonial powers, the former colonial powers. For example, the country where she is, Senegal and others, although they struggled in Senegal a lot, still the relationship is more stronger with the former colonial powers. So we have this situation now. Now, the important thing is we have achieved something together, which means political. Now what we need to achieve is economic independence also. And then all these efforts, at least on the talking side, on producing protocol, but the effort to try to make it, we even in the Africa Union, we have many, many protocols, we do, but in actual fact, we don't get, we have not yet reached. We have now the inter-African trade, anything like that. In terms of realization, we're still at the stage where we should be.
Kumba, the Organization of African Unity, which was founded in 1963 with the mandate or the goal of making sure that the entire African continent is politically decolonized. That goal was accomplished in 1994 when apartheid South Africa became independent under the Madiba. Nelson Mandela became the first indigenous president of the Republic of South Africa. Now, the OAU has since been replaced by the African Union, whose goal is to bring about economic independence. What are your expectations of the African Union to accomplish its goal of bringing about economic independence for Africa?
I have extremely high expectation of the African Union about liberation of this continent. And yes, when we talk about liberation today, and we talk about economic liberation, we mean that the riches of the African continent serve the African people first. We know that today, though, with the type of leadership that we have on this continent, we don't think that it's going to be very easy to get to that, because many of our leaders would rather serve those who are oppressing us. We said it earlier, we are lacking that vision, that courage. So the big job and the big work on this continent is to put in leadership people who are ready for African liberation in all of the senses of the world. And economic liberation doesn't happen alone. It happens with political liberation. Yes, there are independencies. And yes, we have big wins, you know, with the anti-apartheid movement, with the fact that at least we don't have, you know, France being settled in Senegal and be the people that we have to respond to directly. But even our political liberation is not complete. The colonial project has taken a different form. It happens behind doors, and it is our own people that are used against us. Today, it's a challenge for an African who believes in Africa, who is a Pan-Africanist, who is someone who wants to make change happen, to be able to succeed, to be in power in an African country, let alone to stay there long enough to be able to push something different at the African Union. But change is on the way. It's going to happen. People at a time didn't think that slavery would ever end, or the same way people at the time thought that the colonial project will never cease, the same way they thought that apartheid is the way to be and will be forever, the same way today people think that this world economic model that is enslaving us, people think that this is the way and it will continue. But we know that it will come a day where it will change and it will crumble, and we'll work every day, every time, everything that we have, we put it in there to make sure that that change also happens.
Luckily, critics say that the only constant is change. And when you look at the demographic changes that are happening on the continent in tandem with social media, I think that those who are optimistic about changes have very good reason to be even hugely optimistic. What about you, Mamo? What do you think should happen in order for the African Union to deliver economic liberation for Africa so that the people of Africa become the beneficiaries of their God-given wealth?
Thank you. Thank you for the question. But our sister has explained it very nicely. And I just want to continue on her ideas. I think there's very, very important that the African Union must fund itself first. A lot of the funding still comes from outside.
Correct.
And if it comes from outside, outside interests will continue to influence us. So the other key point is that six times more resources flow out of Africa than what comes in. We actually donate to the rest of the world. We're not donated. No, sincerely. And it's how many billions every year go out with the illicit financial flows. We are in a economic logic of debt, loan, and aid. We must get out of that. We don't need loan. We don't need debts to be indebted. All right? And we don't need aid. What we need to know is an economic strategy, an innovation system, a sustainable, integrated economy arrangement in Africa to agree like that. And if the African Union can actually do it, that would be wonderful. I remember attending the 50th anniversary of the OAU. I went to the African Union. But the discussions people were making were not practical, what I saw. Very good to produce protocols, but actually action-oriented ideas, not easy. For example, look, whatever you say about Gaddafi, I mean, he wanted to create the African Afro. He actually had enough gold where he said, Africa does not need the World Bank and the IMF, it creates its own World Bank and IMF, the African one. So when that happened, what did they do? Sarkozy and others, they fought him and they killed him. And now look at what Libya is, what's happening to Libya. What we have in Africa is genuinely, as my sister said it, the leadership has to change. And as you also said it, we need leaders that serve the people, that serve Africa. For example, Thomas Sankara, what did he do? He reduced his salary by half. He did not want Mercedes-Benz cars. He used to walk. We need service, public service, not pocket service. We don't need, not feed people for money. If they do like that, then they get connected to all these external actors and then don't really value Africa and our people. We need leaders that value the people and Africa. We need that. Even oppressed humanity in the world with our Ubuntu values, you know, with the value that we have, the philosophy that we have so rich that will save the world comes from Africa. We have originated it. We don't practice it here. So I think what you are just asking is very important. At the moment, the economic challenge on us is very, very strong. When we have the richest resources on this planet, who takes it? Who owns it? What are the companies that do it? External companies, the mining sector, everything. I'm simply saying to you is that unless we change this, and when we are uniting, we need economic unity too. And on the trade level, on the education level, on the technology level, on the inter-African mobility, we need to create many, many, many interesting things that need to be done. We're not doing it systematically.
When you look at the African continent, and we are talking about the needed leadership that can get the continent out of these problems, how can you possibly have that type of leadership with the sort of elections, or selections, some might say, that African countries go through? There are not so many Senegals on the African continent. It's called free, fair, transparent, credible elections. We are talking about a continent where there is the absence of social, economic, political justice for all.
Yes, you are so right. You're really touching it. The reality is that today, on the African continent, we have a hard time finding a country where we can be proud of our leaders, where we can name our leaders and say that they will stand for Africans. And that is the first thing we need to, you know, we need to fight. And we are fighting. Nobody is standing still. You see what's happening in Uganda today. Senegal is no different than other countries. People have to fight every day to be able to maintain a semblance of justice. But we understand that doesn't happen just by chance. We know that there are deep-rooted interests globally to make sure that the kind of leaders that comes into leadership in our countries but can stay are the one that can serve the interests of the same one who colonizes. We understand that. And we need to be able to get out of that. And today, our own proposition is that there is a need for African unity, not just of African unity of states. I think women of Africa needs to unite. I think workers of Africa needs to unite. Artists of Africa needs to unite. Different segments of Africans, intellectuals, professors, We don't have to wait for our countries to get the type of leaders that we need. We need to be able to unite as groups, as corporation, and go beyond these, as we said it earlier, these fake nation state that will force upon us, and be regional, you know, in our approaches. So, and this is what we need to push at the level of African Union and everywhere, to make sure that there is a space for the civil society groups, the movement, the organizations, the workers' unions, to be able to unite and build that vision of a united Africa.
Former U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama has said that even prosperity without freedoms is a form of fundamental poverty. How do you react to that?
To me, I believe in freedom, and people being free to make choices is what will make the difference. There will be no prosperity without freedom. People have to be able to participate to the governance of their own lives, what belongs to them, how it needs to be used, what they want to do or don't want to do about their lives. When the prosperity is for all, of course, freedom is a component of it, for women, for young people, for people of different genders, different ethnicity. Everyone needs to be free, and without that, there is no meaning to any prosperity.
Thank you. What about you, Momo?
I think the important thing is for us to also not ignore our own rich traditional knowledge about governance. Also, we should learn something from it. We should contextualize it in the African setting. What are the kind of things that have been very useful? Instead of now copying these Western political parties, forming so many political parties, all right, and then competing with each other, and then building political parties on the basis of ethnicity, on many things like that, with again, all these political parties getting foreign support and foreign interests and dividing us. No, this is not going. This is not freedom. This is oppression. I'm telling you. What? Just give me a concrete example. I give you a concrete example. I'm not saying we should be like China, but China had two things. When they were Marxist, they used to give it to what they call Chinese characteristics. And when they, for something like 30 years, they did not want to link with the rest of the world. They want to sort themselves out. They need to find themselves out. We need in Africa something like that. And then what did they do? After 30 years, in 1978, Deng Xiaoping said, let's open our economy. Then other people said to him, why don't you make it a liberal democracy? You know what he said? Are you crazy? Do you want to create chaos in China? Even one political communist party is too big for us, too many for us. What we need, he said, and sincerely, what we need is all of us must learn how to agree, even when we disagree, to re-agree. The main project is the people to eradicate poverty and to make sure China is secure. That's what we need to do. And then now in last year, in 2020, China eradicated poverty. What we need is, and then take also from Norway, when they got oil, one little oil, they don't have resources like we have. They had a one-year debate what to do. They created what they call the Sovereign Wealth Fund. And what did that fund mean? Is a fund, should we give it to the state? No. Should we give it to the companies? No. What should we do? The people of Norway. Now, if you go to Norway, everyone is rich. The whole Scandinavia, they have what they call a social democratic system where you have no problem. Everybody is secure. I worked there for 12 years. I didn't have key for my office. I didn't have key for my where I stay in the house. We don't need it because there's no, unless people are drunk or anything, they will not do any harm. This kind of situation is what we need in Africa. Africa has everything, but we don't know how to manage it. Our politics is very poor. Albert Einstein said there are two infinities in the world, in this world. One is the universe. The other is human stupidity. And you know what he said? I'm not sure about the universe, he said, but he was so sure about human stupidity. We have a lot of human stupidity. I call it the greatest human stupidity Africa faces is the politics. The politics is too dirty. We need to clean it up. To clean it up means, sincerely speaking, is to value the people first, above all everything. How do we create a system to do that? Even when we are politicians, how do we agree to disagree, reagree to solve problems, not to create problems? Something like that is what we need. That is not what we have now in Africa. It's all confused. This confusion is creating problems for us. We need to clean it up.
But what about the example of Botswana? Botswana seems to be working. It is not perfect, but seems to be working. And the reason it seems to be working is precisely because of what you said. It taps into its traditional culture.
Definitely. I think what I believe is that it's so possible. What we are talking about is not a faraway dream or an impossible thing to do. Countries, people have done it before. The capacity to consider one's own people, to say that we are African, we deserve the best, we deserve not only to be alive, but to live well, that we will put in front of us as our leaders people who believe in that, and that we will need to live in a world that respects that choice. Because Africans have chosen before leaders that believe in this. And as Mamu said, many of them got somehow eliminated. But the whole world needs to come to term with the fact that this is what we need, that we deserve to be alive, that we deserve to live off our land and of our own riches. That to do that, we need to have the type of leaders that cares about us. The whole world needs to come to term with this. And the tides are turning. The tides are turning. People will have to live with Africans that are knowledgeable, Africans that are courageous, Africans that will make their own choices. There are more and more of us on this earth, and we are not only on the continent, we are everywhere. And there is no way to hold us back. So I think this is a great moment for Pan-Africanism.
Unfortunately, time is not my best ally for that. I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have had the opportunity to host you on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa for the first time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks to our audience for joining our conversation on Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Africa. And please, let's keep the African hopes alive.